This is In My Opinion with your host, Ray Dosky.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to In My Opinion. I'm your host, Ray Dosky. Oh, we've got so much to cover today. We've got, well, you know what? Divisional playoffs. I'm just going to just throw it out there. We're talking about NFL division playoffs. And today, I've got a few guests on that I can't wait to have on. Of course, I got to introduce my first guy, my boy, Patton, the General Cook, joining me today. And alongside him is someone who I've been trying to get on my podcast since, like, I can remember. And that's John Burton. The guy is just impossible to get in touch with because guy works hard, right, Pat? I mean, the guy works hard. He's here from 9 to 11 doing the Burton Pogue show, and then he goes does his, you know, new stuff and covers the Titans, the sport. The guy, and he does what? Impact Wrestling as well?
Yep.
Yeah, so you're all over the place.
Certified personal trainer.
Oh, so. Yeah, and yeah, he lives. He's swole, dude. He's swole. Yeah, he's not like...
I work out a little bit.
Yeah, he's not Regis. Well, he's just swole, you know?
I work out a little bit.
You work out a little bit. What's up, John? What's up, guys?
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. It's, this podcast is blowing up, and I had to be a part of it. So here I am. Good to be here.
I appreciate it, man. What's up with you, Patton?
Nothing much. Good to have John with us. He just puts his head down and goes to work. That's all this guy does.
I thought you said he put his head down and goes to sleep.
I wish I could.
No.
Sleep's pretty scarce these days, but... I love what I do and love grinding and working hard. So, like I said, happy to be on with you guys.
Well, we enjoy having you on. We're really appreciative of that. Let's just dive in. We're going to talk Titans Bengals because we all know that all week, we all know Derrick Henry's possibly coming, if not coming back, right?
It's a fait accompli.
You've had him out since what, week 9? Mm-hmm. And then you brought him back last week in case if they had to play last week, they lost to Houston. Mm-hmm. But they end up winning, get the first bye in the playoffs, and then he comes to media day yesterday. And did he give us much? I mean, it was like, when I was listening to the presser, it was just like, oh, what are your expectations? We'll see how the week goes.
But he had a big smile on his face when he said that. So.
Like he's like, let's get out.
Don't be fooled by that. You will see. Like I said, it's a fait accompli. It's not official yet as we're doing this podcast, but it's a fait accompli. He will be in uniform. He will be up, as they say, for the divisional playoff game Saturday.
Yeah, I think he's keeping it close to the chest, and I think Vrabel told him to do that. I think there's a pretty clear message. Hey, when you go out there, don't say, hey, I'm going to play. Let's not do that.
I mean, that's the Patriot way.
Do you think Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, is sitting there going, well, he might not play. I guess it's going to be Foreman and Hilliard. They know. Everybody knows Derrick Henry is playing on Saturday.
So let me ask you guys this. What is the real expectations of Derrick Henry this week? Really, what is it? Do you think he's going to be limited? Do you think he's going to be full go? I know that he cleared padded practice or contact practice mm-hmm. the other day. So it looks like he seems okay. I know that he still has, he's still recovering from the foot surgery and the injury itself. Mm-hmm. What is his real expectations this week? What are you guys thinking?
Well, for me, I think I go by what Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator, said. We're going to see how the game flows. You know, if he gets off to a good start, they're going to ride him. Because I think that's going to be the Titans' key to winning this game is a solid running game. We all know the Bengals are a little banged up on their defensive line, and I think it's going to be a field process. The good news is if he doesn't have it early, you still got Deontay Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard you can plug in, and we all know the job that those guys did filling in for the Kings. So I really think Downing and Vrabel are going to give him a couple of totes early, see how he feels. See how he's running, see how he's cutting. And, you know, it's not so much getting hit, it's the decision making, right? When to mm-hmm. make that cut, when to press the hole, when to cut back, that sort of thing. So I really think it's going to be a game flow issue as far as Derrick Henry goes. If he's hot early, they're going to ride him, trust me.
And I think for me, when you look at it in the final regular season game, there was talk that he could have played then.
Yeah.
So for me, I think he is fully healthy at this point. I think if available and if the game kind of shows it, I think he's full go if they want him to be. So I don't think there's any question about his health. I think it's all about in the fourth quarter, how conditioned is he going to be? I mm-hmm. think early on you'll see the burst and the speed, but what makes him so great is him in the fourth quarter just running by everybody in the fourth and final quarter. So I'm not too worried about the first couple of quarters. I think the fourth quarter is really where we're going to find out how conditioned is he and how back is he, quite frankly.
Yeah,
absolutely, because we all know Saturday it's supposed to be a cold, ugly mm-hmm. day, right? It's supposed to be like perfect temperatures to run the football.
Yep.
And we know the Bengals they're dealing with injuries, especially on that defensive line. I know they rank 7th against the run, but you know, it's more or less like that next man approach, what have you. Mm-hmm. But in the playoffs, do you really feel like the Titans are going to take advantage of the injuries that that Bengals defensive line is dealing with right now, and most likely try to run the ball to kind of keep Joe Coolborough off the field and that explosive offense? I would think that's kind of like the game plan they're trying to go with in the Titans. But, like, John, how do you see this game playing out? I mean, like, what do you think that, you know, because you have this young team coming in, super explosive, right? Mm-hmm. If you're the Titans, right, how are you game planning? Are you just running the ball? Are you, like...
Yeah, I want to run the ball, control the clock, and keep that explosive Bengals offense off the field. Mm-hmm. And also, by running the ball, set up play action with Ryan Tannehill for your deep shots down the field with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. That's the way I would approach it. Stay ahead of the chains, keep the third downs manageable, and really try to wear down this Bengals defense. As you mentioned, they're going to be without Larry Ogunjobi, probably their best run-stuffing DL. So, to me, that would be the approach. Run the football, set up play action, get your big plays off of that. Defensively, you better put pressure on Joe Burrow. We saw last year what this guy can do, you know, as a rookie if you don't put any pressure on him, because he's got the weapons. And, you know, their weapons, you know, their tight ends, their receivers, Jamar Chase, obviously, Boyd, Higgins, Uzoma, the tight end. You know, if it's a situation where they're matching up against the Titans secondary, in my opinion, that's advantage Bengals. So you need a big game out of Harold Landry getting after the quarterback. You need a big game out of Bud Dupree and Jeff Simmons getting that A-gap pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, defensively for Cincinnati, they're going to need guys like B.J. Hill to step up. 5.5 sacks coming into this game, and he's a guy who's kind of more of a depth piece coming into the Raiders game specifically. But now, as we've talked about it, some injuries on their side. He's going to have to step up. DJ Reader, a guy that Mike Vrabel knows well from his time in Houston. So at this time of the year, the guys need to step up. And for Cincinnati, I think that D-line is going to be a specific area of watching, because if a guy like Derrick Henry can get back to where he was, that means that they're not doing their job up front. So I think it's all dependent on how guys can step up for Cincinnati. And the same thing for the Titans. They're going to need guys like Jackrabbit Jenkins. He's had a very good second half of the season. Yeah. He's kind of got into his own, had a really tough start. But since the kind of the month of November, he's been a really, really good corner. Christian Fulton on Jamar Chase, that's a matchup I'm looking at. He's not going to go everywhere that Jamar goes. But I think when you look at Jamar and Christian, they both roomed with each other at LSU, know each other very well. That's the matchup I'm really looking forward to.
So, and that's what I'm, because when you look at this Joe Burrow, confident kid. Yep. I mean, the guy has got this moxie.
Yeah.
Like, it's like
he's got that it factor.
Yeah, like he deserves there. You know, like he belongs there.
Yep.
Like he's figured out, and it's what, his second year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing in terms of arguably probably comeback player of the year. I mean, if you look at it, like, you know, Dak Prescott, Nick Bosa, I mean, no one's, Joe just kind of fell under the radar because Dak came out and just started like airing it out the first 7 weeks of the NFL season. Their offense was probably the best in the NFL, dealt with injuries, and then all of a sudden you start to see this little plateau. Like, he started to drop off a little bit, and it's carried over into the playoffs where they lost last week to the Niners. What do the Titans do to kind of to really, because if you look at the Bengals, they've given up 50 plus sacks.
Yeah.
One of the worst offensive lines probably in the playoffs right now. If I'm the Titans defensive coordinator, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to blitz him as much as I can, because we've seen he gets blitzed, he gets routed. Because if he looks at Jamar Chase, it seems like he's always trying to go to him. If he doesn't go to him, then it's like he gets a little flushed and he kind of throws the ball off. If you're let me ask you this, John, like, what are the keys of trying to attack Joe Burrow?
Well, listen, if you're going to blitz him, just beware, because you're going to leave your corners isolated on a really good group of receivers. You mentioned Jackrabbit Jenkins and how well he's played, but, you know, he's up there in age, and I don't know if he can turn and run with these guys. We'll find out. So you got to be careful blitzing. If you do blitz, make sure you keep him in the pocket. Don't let him break contain on the outside, because that's where he makes a lot of his plays, especially to a guy like Chase, you know, who can freelance a lot. So obviously your coverage guys are going to have to plaster their receivers, because this guy is a lot more mobile than people think, and he can throw extremely well on the run. So if you're going to blitz him, A, you better get home, and B, keep him in the pocket. Don't let him get outside. I think that's the strategy. But you look at their tight end, Uzoma. I hope I said it right, Uzoma. you know, that's a matchup issue potentially, you know, with Zach Cunningham or Jayon Brown or especially Rashawn Evans, who's not really known as a cover guy. So, you know, like I said, if you're going to blitz, do so at your own peril potentially, because you're going to leave your corners isolated against a really, really talented group of receivers.
Mm-hmm. John, the only question I got for you, Julio Jones, the last game we saw him in against the Houston Texans, really you saw a slimmer of what Julio was in Atlanta. Are you seeing kind of the same sort of thing in practice and then maybe this upcoming Saturday that this is a guy maybe they haven't got a lot of production out in the regular season could be kind of a hidden factor in the postseason?
Well, I felt like in that Houston game for the first time really since week two in Seattle, they made an effort to get him the ball. He had 9 targets, 5 catches, obviously caught his first touchdown pass. I was glad he didn't go the entire regular season without catching a touchdown pass in his first year as a Titan. I think this is a big potential Julio Jones game. Take your shots deep, especially off play action. I thought he ran extremely well, his route running in the Houston game. He's looked good at practice. And, I think that potentially this is a high-target Julio Jones game. Obviously, A.J. Brown will have his say. And, you know, let's not forget guys like Anthony Firkser, a guy that can help you on third down and in the red zone. You're going to need a guy like him to step up. But to answer your question, General, yeah, I think Julio Jones has the potential to really have a big game. You know he's motivated. You know, he's here for a reason. You know, he knows that he was brought here to be that missing piece to get the Tennessee Titans to the Super Bowl. What better way to have your breakout game, your dominant performance game, than in, you know, a big playoff game at home?
Are you a believer of this whole, like, rust thing? You know, that theory of, like, you know, when a team takes so much time off and you get a bye, right, and you come back. And we all know that Mike Vrabel coming off a bye is one of the best, right? 8-0, I believe this is his record coming off a bye. It gives you 2 weeks to kind of prepare for. And chances are he probably prepared for every team. Had video of the first week, and they brought back practice this week. Do you feel like the Titans team, when they come out that first quarter, they might be a little sluggish? They've been out of, you know, that flow for about 2 weeks. Or do you feel like they're going to just, you know, be on all cylinders right at, you know, out the gate, first snap, they're ready to go? Which one do you see them going with the Titans right now?
Normally, I would say I'd actually prefer having played the week before, because I covered the 05 Pittsburgh Steelers team that played in the wild card. They were the road team all the way through to the Super Bowl. I watched the Giants do it in 07 when they beat the Patriots. I watched the Packers do it in 2010 when they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. I like that team getting hot and just kind of keeping the momentum going. But in this case, you mentioned it, Vrabel has been great throughout his coaching career. Coming off a bye, his team will be ready. His team will be motivated. It may take a half a quarter to get some of the quote-unquote rust off, but I don't see a scenario where they're just going to be flopping all over the place and not prepared and not you know, sharp and with it to start the game. But listen, you've played a Bengals team that's brimming with confidence. They're playing with house money. They're a year ahead of schedule than where they were supposed to be, and they were 5-2 on the road this year. I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
and you know, talking to people around the league, they're really good at handling, you know, hostile road environments. They're good with their silent count. And Burrow's a kid that never really gets rattled, you know, unless you're putting pressure on him. What quarterback wouldn't? So, you know, it would behoove the Titans to get off to a fast start. But even if they don't, it's not the end of the world. If they get down like 10-0 early, it's nothing to panic about, because they're so well coached under Vrabel. They're so well prepared. They'll figure out a way to, you know, not let this game get out of hand.
Well, John, we appreciate you kind of taking some time out. Tell the people where they can find you.
Oh, man. Instagram and Twitter at JohnBurton32. Hit me up. You can find me on Facebook at NC5JohnBurton. I'm all over the place, man. I'm all over the map. Also, if you're in need of personal training here in the Middle Tennessee area, go to my website, www.justbelievefitness32.com. Love to sign you up for some training sessions, get you in shape for the new year.
Yeah, I need to get with John.
No, you don't. Yeah, look at you.
You're
busted out of that shirt.
I know. It's just medium. It's just medium. Yes, I know. It's just medium. But honestly, John, thank you so much, dude. I really appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Yeah, enjoy it. Love what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work, all right?
Appreciate it, man. That's John Burton.
What a guy.
Yeah, man. Like, this guy's just awesome.
How can you top a guest like that? We're going to have to later in the show.
We might have somebody. Yeah. It'll be hard. Yeah. But, you know, we're going to try our best. Yeah. So, Pat, you know, John was talking about, you know, pretty much the key points in terms of, like, you know, some of the biggest questions. We talked about this, some of the questions that lie between this whole Bengals versus Titans, you know, game coming up on Saturday. I do worry about the rust. I really do. Because, you know, if you look at a team coming in that's hot, like John said, house money. They're a year, you know, early in terms of what expectations are of this team. Much like we have one here in Tennessee, in the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. Memphis Grizzlies didn't think they were going to be as good as they have been. Now, they've kind of sputtered a little bit since their 11-12 game winning streak. But they're playing lights out, much like the Cincinnati Bengals. And they're just making this noise. And a lot of teams are saying, like, the Titans should be on upset alert here because of what Joe Burrow and that team does. One of the biggest things in this playoff so far is, and it's the difference between, like I talked on the last podcast, from their earlier postseason exits, is that they didn't turn over the ball against the Raiders. And that's a big thing there. I mean, like, we all know that you turn over the ball, give the offense, give your opportunity, go up a point, go up several points, whatever, and next thing you know, you just run the clock. And that's where I think Derrick Henry and other, and that brass of running backs will be able to edge out, I think, a lesser Bengals defensive line.
And I was looking at it, kind of the Titans know this better than anybody because they caught a number one seed kind of sleeping a little bit in the Baltimore Ravens a few years ago. Of course, they beat the New England Patriots first and then traveled over to Baltimore. And I was looking at the stats. Got about a 26% chance of losing in the first round if you're a number one seed all time since 1990. So it's not exactly set in stone. If you get that number one seed, that you've got a great chance going to the Super Bowl. Got about a 22% chance to win the Super Bowl if you can get that number one seed. But I think for the Titans, it was one of those where would you love to have momentum coming into this game? Sure. But at the end of the day, they needed health, I think, more than they needed momentum.
Absolutely.
When you look at it, the injuries they had on the defensive line, you had guys like Laurell Murchison and Denico Autry kind of going in and out of the lineup. And then you look at their main player, Derrick Henry. Give him an extra week to kind of get back. I think that's priceless what they did getting the bye week. So there's teams where I think the Baltimore Ravens, where really nobody could touch them in the regular season, head into the postseason. They get a week off. And a lot of times – teams with the number one seed, they don't even bother and play the last regular season game because they've got it locked up. The Titans did not have that luxury because they slugged it out with the Houston Texans.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk more about the Titans because later, look, we might as well go ahead and announce our guest. We're going to have Aditya Kikawala from the NFL Network joining us today to talk about not only the Bengals Titans, because we all know that she covers the Steelers, mostly, you know, primarily the AFC North, if you will. But we're going to talk about all the four games. We're going to break them down, try to see what her thoughts are and stuff. Like, I can't really have – this girl knows her stuff. I've been following her for years. She knows – I mean, anything you can talk about in terms of the playoffs, she knows it. So I'm really excited to have her. But let's go and talk about some current events going on in the NFL. And I know you've heard rumors out there that Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, there might be a divorce coming up soon because Michigan's really concerned that if the Raiders – and there's nothing been set in stone. There's no – news of him having an interview set up or he's been offered or anything like that. This is pure speculation that if Jim Harbaugh is offered the Las Vegas Raiders position, head coaching job, he will take it. Yeah. Now, I know the Giants were rumored to be involved as well. There were some interest there, possibly. Looks like there's nothing there as well. Jim Harbaugh has been out of the NFL since, 2015. He had a 44-13 record, went to three NFC conferences and one Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers during his time in the NFL. Do you think this is a smart move to come back in the NFL for Jim Harbaugh?
I don't think it's terrible. I think when you look at what he's done at Michigan, you've beaten Ohio State. You've got yourself into a college football playoff. And really, it's tough because at Michigan, it's always going to be an uphill battle. You got to at least beat Ohio State to make it into the college football playoff. And they did that for the first time in nearly 20 years this past season. So it's one of those where it's not exactly an easy task for Michigan to get into the college football playoff. Harbaugh, his stock is at an all-time high, so he's never really going to get back to what he was this season more than likely because you've got a team like Ohio State who's going to be restocking. They've got C.J. Stroud coming back, so it was always going to be tough in that category. But really, when you look at it, what you get in the Las Vegas Raiders, you get a team that more than likely has its franchise quarterback in Derek Carr. That's kind of a checkoff. The list. It's a team that made the postseason this season, so it's not like you're going to be going into an absolute dumpster fire like a team that Urban Meyer was necessarily. And you've shown that you can do it in the NFL. Harbaugh had great success with the San Francisco 49ers, got there with Colin Kaepernick, who isn't exactly a Drew Brees when it comes to NFL quarterback tiers. I think Derek Carr, you'd say, is a better NFL quarterback than Colin Kaepernick ever was. So for me, I think when you look at all those things, it's a team in Las Vegas. It's an exciting place to be right now. It's a new franchise, not exactly have the home field advantage 100% of the time yet. So a lot of traveling fans, specifically when Kansas City would travel down to Las Vegas. So I think when you put all the things together, your stock is never going to be higher if you're Jim Harbaugh. You look at it, Michigan's always going to be tough to make it back to the college football playoff. You've left Michigan in a better place than what it was whenever you first got there. I don't think it's a terrible idea if you can find an NFL team that has its quarterback already set in stone. They've shown they can make the postseason and really be competitive in the NFL. And ultimately, it's kind of one of those sexy teams in the NFL to be a head coach at. The Las Vegas Raiders, the black hole. I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world for Harbaugh.
You know, I can go both ways with this. I think that on one side, I feel that he's taking Michigan as far as he possibly can. He beat Ohio State. Finally, he beat Ohio State. And showed nothing in the playoffs. I mean, they just looked flat against Georgia. And on the other hand, I look at it like, well, you're just starting to get going. You just beat Ohio State. Something that was kind of like, it was like your biggest obstacle to accomplish. And you did that this season. And I felt like if there was any season to do it, it would be this season. Because they know that, you know, with Ohio State not being as great as they were, that they were going to fall off the map a little bit. That was, you know, that was their chance. And they took advantage of it. But I really feel like he misses the NFL. I think that, you know, a lot of head coaches in the college ranks right now, they have to deal with the transfer portal. They have to transfer, they have to deal with the NILs. I mean, it just, there's just, college football is not going to be the same anymore.
But he didn't sign up for what is the current college football whenever he went back to Michigan.
The
transfer portal was there, but it was not at the extent that it is now, where even stars on college teams will transfer over to other teams. Like, you've seen that with the LSU players going over to Alabama. One of their main players on the defensive end has shifted over to Alabama. So the college football he knows is not there anymore. And I think we're going to see more college coaches. You've seen Dabo Swinney. He's furious with what's going on in the college football game. So I think that's a great point.
Yeah, a lot of coaches are not happy about what's going on. They feel like that, from what I've read, it seems like that whole college family unity thing is starting to fade away. Because before it was like coach, team, I won, right? It was just like, we're one team, right? Now you see, well, players are going to try to watch out for themselves. You got players who are going to be coming out of high school, highly like rivals, like top 10, whatever their rankings are going to come out, and they'll go to places and they'll be able to go wherever they want to go and make as much money as they can right at 18 years old. Now, will they have the mental capacity to do it? Who knows? And now you see like these college kids, these high school kids going to college are taking like these finance courses and stuff like that as an elective in high school, so that when they go into the college ranks and they have to deal with all this, like, you know, relationships and contracts and making money with your name and all that stuff, that's a lot of pressure. And now you're starting to see college coaches, now they're trying to have extra discussions with these players on how they can govern their life for the next 4 years or 3 years, however long they decide to stay in college before they go to the pros, if they have the ability to go there. It starts to wear out a little bit. And now if you look at the transfer portal, has like what, 2,500 players? I mean, every day it seems like there's a new star that's added to that list. You know, we looked at that one player who's going to go play for Jackson State. He was the tight wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
You know, he was like, I'm going to go play down with Deion
Miles
Sanders.
Hunter.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone's like, well, kudos to Deion Sanders. He's doing all this stuff, whatever. Deion Sanders is a coach. Deion Sanders can give you all phases, right? Much like Nick Saban, a lot of these other coaches, he can give you all phases from what the pro level looks like to college to high school. He's done it, been there, done that, all that good stuff. I won't be surprised if, like, they're like, well, why don't you go to, like, an Alabama or a Georgia or whatever? You can make so much more money. Well, he's going to make money. Deion's going to he's gonna get him that kid right. I'm not worried about that. And don't be surprised in a couple years, let's say if Florida State, where they're in the state they are now, decides they want to go get a new head coach. Oh, yo, Deion, you want to come home? And what happens when Deion goes home? All those players that he went and recruited, I'm transferring over to Florida State. I could transfer at any time and play immediately. After 1 year, I'm in. So head coaches, depending on who you are, can either take advantage of this or it scares the life out of you because you don't know what to expect. But like I said, I don't feel like that whole life, you know, like the family type atmosphere that college programs have, I think those are starting to dwindle down a little bit. And now it's more or less like it's I instead of we. So, and great, players should make money off their name. Fine. You know, if you got that status, whatever, you go get, you know, like I'm so-and-so from Nissan of whatever, and they pay you like $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is, you know, they charge you. Good for you.
Yeah.
And then come in the NFL, and they're not dirt poor on a rookie contract. They have actually got money.
But really, when you look at it, it's for the NFL, Harbaugh would not have to deal with 18 different things.
None of that.
It's basically free agency in college football, but in the NFL, at least it is. It's got some rules and regulations in there for college football. I mean, it's really a free game right now. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. You can do it, no penalties at all. So I'm kind of with you on that. But one thing the home field advantage in Las Vegas is something I would think about because that all the talk about football coaches wanting a true home field advantage in the NFL, because when you look at it, you got a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. Even though this season it hasn't exactly gone into wins, I think one thing in Las Vegas, even though it's a great place to live for some, maybe not for others, but I think that is something really you got to think about. Is there a true kind of NFL town there for you where at Michigan you're an idol? Are you an idol in Las Vegas? That's something I'd think about too.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this Raiders fans, they are as passionate as they come. Whether it be the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Raiders, their fan base is right up there. I remember when I volunteered for the draft years ago, there were so many Raider fans up here. And they're all like tatted up. They're like Raider Nation, whatever. I'm like, yo, that's fire. You know, like these Raider fans, whether it be Oakland, Los Angeles, wherever they were. And I've always had a soft spot for the Raiders because I grew up as a Bo Jackson fan. Yeah. I thought Bo Jackson was like, I mean, this guy was just you just could not explain the athlete he was because he was just godly in terms of when he had that, you know, his time on the field, both on baseball and football. But when I used to see the fans come out there with the shoulder pads and are you like a wrestling fan?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I don't know how much wrestling you've watched over WWE. Do you remember the guys like the Road Warriors?
Yeah.
With the little like, you know, with like the animal and you know, and Rush and all that stuff. What a Rush. You know what? Those are the guys, like when I look at the Raiders, because you come out with the shoulder pads, they got the face paint and they got the spikes on the shoulder pads. I'm like, yo, that's Rush from that's Animal from the Road Warriors, you know? And that's why I think that was another reason why I liked the Raiders, because of the fact that I was a big Road Warriors fan and watching them with their shoulder pads, I'm like, all right, I mean, even though I'm in Washington, I'm rooting for the Skins or Washington football team. I can't really say that. But AFC, before the Titans were in Houston, I would watch the Raiders,
right?
You know, because I'm just like, they had the cool logos. I thought the helmet was just, their logo is probably one of the best in the NFL. The Raider helmet is probably one of the best. The silver and black, I always was a fan of. So, but their fan base, it's there. They've traveled from from Los Angeles and Oakland to Las Vegas. They're there every game. Their games are sold out. And I think it's good. I mean, it's such a great opportunity when you think about if Jim Harbaugh goes to Las Vegas, and let's say you're going to get sold out regardless of who comes in, whether it be a Raider fan or whatever. You're going to be sold out compared to other stadiums where they have to war. You know, we talk about a lot of times with the Titans. Yeah. You know, if you go on StubHub right now, and we'll talk about like the playoffs. If you look at the tickets to sales available right now for all four games, if you look at the Bills Chiefs, it's like $170 for like nosebleeds. If you look at the Lambeau, Green Bay versus the Niners is about $140. And then you look at, the Buccaneers versus the Rams, about $120, $130. But when you look at the Titans tickets are like $200-something. Granted, we're playing against the Bengals. But Bengals, Cincinnati's only, a little over 4 hours away from here. So in terms of travel, it's very close. Yeah. And so people are going to come to Nashville. Why? Because it's a party city. You got Broadway and you have fun. Regardless of what the elements are, it could be snowing, blizzard, whatever. People are still outside on Broadway going to listen to music and they're having fun. Just like Las Vegas. No matter where you go, they get great weather. No matter where you're coming from, you're going to make it. You're going to have a guy's trip, make it out the weekend. You're going to go hang out there and have fun. I mean, it's just a great moneymaker. I think, honestly, Mark Davis was a genius in terms of moving to Las Vegas, and it's going to really help out. And I think Jim Harbaugh sees that, and he's like, all right, maybe I need to ride this train. You already got a quarterback. Now, we all know that there's going to be question marks if he's going to, you know, who would ever coach. Because everyone asks about, you know, Derek Carr, like, what's his future like? What's the future going to be in Las Vegas? And a lot of people have come out there and said it just really depends on what the next head coach is going to do, what direction he wants to travel. Will this guy match his system? You've got Josh Jacobs. You've got Darren Waller. You've got some pieces you can work with, especially defensively. Defensively, you weren't bad. Just dealt with a lot of injuries. You had a lot of bad luck as well. But you're a couple of drafts away, a few free agents away, to really making noise in that they were great at the beginning of the season. When were they, like 3-0, 5-2, the first 7 weeks before the whole John Harbaugh thing happened in October and he was let go? Everyone was talking about Las Vegas. No one was talking about the Chiefs because, you know, Patrick Mahomes was not confident. The defense played like crap. San Diego Chargers, you know, the LA Chargers, you know, they were like much like the Bengals. They were that hot team with Herbert and, you know, their offensive juggernaut with Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler. They saw him come out of the gate and they started to sputter a little bit. And the Denver Broncos, no one really took the Denver Broncos seriously because they didn't have a quarterback. So Las Vegas has an opportunity to really make some noise quickly in that division.
Yeah, and the Raiders, they just got to draft well. When you look at the Khalil Mack trade that they had and ended up bringing in a ton of players, of course, they had a top five pick. They just really haven't drafted up to their ability yet. I think Josh Jacobs is probably the best guy they've drafted in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Of course, you have the Henry Ruggs situation that's just been absolutely a nightmare. Cleveland Farrell on the defensive line hasn't really panned out to what they thought he'd end up being. So it's kind of one of those where even with the kind of draft mistakes, they're right there. And if Jim Harbaugh can kind of bring in a GM that he trusts and knows can kind of bring up the talent that Las Vegas can bring, I think it's really can be up there for a really good job. But one thing is, they've got a heck of a division. I've got Las Vegas and Kansas City both in there alongside. So it's really tough sledding for you if you've got kind of two teams like that with the future is so bright for each and every one of them, especially Kansas City. Playing them twice a year is always tough. But when you look at it, the drafting hasn't been there. The talent acquisition hasn't been there. But they just end up finding ways to kind of be in and around the postseason. And you got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really excited to see. I mean, if Jim Harbaugh does decide if that works out and he does go there, I think that's probably one of the best opportunities he could have in the NFL. I mean, there's a ton of openings still left. I don't think I've heard of one opportunity. What is there, 7 or 8 head coaching positions that are open with teams? I don't think one has been filled as of yet.
Nope.
And, of course, we're all waiting for the playoffs, you know, to end because there are probably better candidates and stuff like that. A lot of teams have, you know, and there's a couple that's out there that are very, like, under the radar, like, well, not even under the radar, like that can really fill a spot, like a Brian Flores or, you know, a Doug Peterson. I mean, there's some coaches out there that can really make some noise quickly depending on what roster they catch with, whether it be Jacksonville, who's got the first pick, who, if I was Jacksonville, I would ask the farm. I mean, I would trade out and try to get as many picks as I can because we all know they have a lot of issues there. You look at Houston, we all know Deshaun Watson, who's already come out and said that there's no way that he's going to play another down for the Texans. So they're going to probably get some picks for him as well. So they might get some capital. But the Raiders are in good shape. So they had a bad year. They had a few things that go their way. They still end up making the playoffs. Kudos to them. They have nothing to feel down on. You know, they should, you know, if anything, they get a little more respect for everything they dealt with. They went 4-0 the last, you know, towards the end of the season and find themselves in the playoffs. So,
yeah, and when you look at it, I'm looking at NFL.com, and they have Las Vegas as the kind of best job available right now. And in number two is the Denver Broncos. And to me, I think the difference between the Denver Broncos and Las Vegas Raiders in terms of
that's wild
kind of what job you would love to have most, I don't think it's even close which job you'd rather have.
And you that's surprising because you also have the Minnesota job available, and Minnesota is stacked.
Yeah, Minnesota right now is 6.
Yeah,
that they've got lined up. And when you look at their talent, it's really all about the quarterback position,
and that's the question mark, because they said that they don't, you know, we talked about on the last podcast, Kirk Cousins, his contract is up. They don't know. They're still debating in-house within that organizational brass of, like, do we bring him back? Do we not bring him back? Because they don't know what's – are we surprised? I mean, you got the best Kirk Cousins. This is who he is. Yeah. He's primetime Kirk Cousins at noon. But, when I mean, other than – he's noon Kirk Cousins, he's primetime. But when you go to primetime games, he's, you know, a below – like, he's not that great. And I put a sit on my social media – about, like, how Kirk Cousins or whatever, like, yeah, somebody threw some stat out there about, like, his, you know, his last few games, whatever. And I'm like, okay, show me his primetime games. And like, oh, and I got attacked. I even got to unfollow, whatever, and all this stuff. And I'm like, look, don't math me. Don't at me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hear that. Because if you look at his primetime games, I followed this guy when he was with Washington. I know what to expect from this guy. When it comes to primetime games, whether it be Sunday night games or Monday night games, he doesn't show up. He needs a lot like Baker Mayfield. Needs a supporting cast to make him look good. Unfortunately, Baker Mayfield, and I don't understand that whole situation, he had all the elements. I mean, does he look bad now because OBJ is lighting it up in L.A.? Does OBJ make him look even worse now? Because I thought that OBJ was the issue. I thought he couldn't play ball. And look what he's doing. He's, what, 6 touchdowns? All of them come from the Rams this year. 0 with Cleveland.
Yeah, and you look what Cleveland did after they traded him. It was almost like he's the locker room cancer. Once we get him out,
yeah,
it'll be all peaches and cream. It was the complete opposite. I think storylines like that, they just kind of make you laugh because yeah. I think with Kirk Cousins, we've seen it time and time again. Really, last season was really the first time in the playoffs where he did really anything at all in terms of performances. And you look at his supporting cast. I mean, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. I don't know if there's a better 1-2 punch in the NFL when it comes to wide receiver combos like that. And then Dalvin Cook right behind you. So I'm with you there. I don't think there can be any excuses for Kirk Cousins and kind of what he's going through right now, because there's NFL quarterbacks all around the league that would kill for have a cast like
him. Because I was made for, like, when I was talking to Zach and Bruno about, like, you know, quarterbacks that might be available, Derek Carr might be available in the offseason. Depending on what this new coaching staff comes into Las Vegas, whether they feel like he's the guy or if he's not the guy. If he's not the guy, if I'm Minnesota, I'm trying to make a trade for Derek Carr. You put Derek Carr, who was one of the top 10 in terms of passing yards this year in the NFL, with no real receiver. He had Ruggs until Ruggs had, you know, his off-the-field issue, you know, with the accident, what have you. Then you had Darren Waller, was in and out of the lineup, especially towards the end of the season. Minnesota makes a lot of sense to me. If I'm Minnesota, I'm like, I'm trying to do whatever I can to get this guy there. And if Aaron, the bad man himself, doesn't come back next year with Green Bay and Devontae Adams is not there, why can't the Minnesota Vikings be probably the favorite in the NFC North? I mean, it's there. All you have to do is just add a few, maybe an offensive lineman and some defensive pieces there, and you're good to go.
Yeah, that division is interesting because I don't think Chicago is any closer. Of course, they've got a head coaching vacancy.
They're never close.
No, absolutely not. They've got Justin Fields there, but I think just the system and the kind of culture around them, that's a disaster waiting to happen in Chicago. So I'm with you. It's kind of one of those things where that division is just kind of begging for someone to take over. Of course, you've got Green Bay in there that's always going to be tough to kind of top, but really, it's just them, and you look at it in other ways. There's wins in there if you can really just be competent.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. We all saw what happened as the as the game ended and people started going to the tunnel, and we saw the refs as they get off the field. They had trash from the Cowboys thrown onto them, like showing their displeasure of officiating that during that game, because the fact that they decided to penalize the Cowboys, what, 14 times in that game? Dak Prescott came out there and was asked about that, and he just kind of agreed with the fans, like, well, you know, I don't disapprove of them. And then yesterday he comes out with an apology saying that I have the utmost respect for the referees, blah, 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 whatever. General, I'm going to ask you this. Do you believe he should have apologized? Did he need to apologize? Did he need to apologize?
You know, that's a tough one. I think when you look at it, you've got kids at home. You've got your idols. And like, is that the best thing you want to set an example for? Probably not. But, I mean, I'm kind of at the age where you know what these athletes are. Can they be role models for, like, 5 to 10-year-olds? Sure. But, like, as you get older, you know, they're no better a person than me. Like, you know what I'm saying? In terms of when you look deep into their heart, they're no better than I am in terms of caring about other people and stuff like that. So that's kind of been eliminated from my brain.
Right.
It's these, like, superheroes who can do no wrong, and they have the best heart in mind and stuff like that. That just, to me, does not end up happening. So that's kind of gone out of my head. Should he apologize? I think he should. Just for kids like that, that's not an example you want to set. And also, if you're the league, you don't really want to set a precedent like this where you can have NFL players going out on a line saying, yeah, let's just throw stuff at the referees because it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Is it funny? Sure. Does the league want it to happen continually? Probably not. So I think this is kind of one of those where Jerry Jones got a call and say, can you tell your quarterback to just apologize? We can't be having this as we're in the height of the NFL postseason where, say, the Titans get screwed on a call and you have Bud Light cans flowing into Nissan Stadium. You don't want that. So I think it's one of those where it's a funny quote. It's funny that he said it at the time, but it's kind of one of those where you got up.
But it was the reality's been, and that's what I've been. I've been waiting for that, Dak, because Dak is Mr. I'll always do the right thing. I won't make any waves. I won't break any waves. I'm super chill. Everyone loves Dak Prescott. And then finally, he says one thing at the post game interview, and I was like, "That's what I've been waiting for. That's the Dak I've been waiting for. Show me that edge." Now, was I surprised that the Cowboy fans were doing that? Kind of, because I expect that in Philadelphia, in Dallas, you know, I expect the Philadelphia goes, "Oh, whatever," because Philadelphia is notorious for their fans. And they, when they had Veterans Stadium, they had a courthouse in the stadium. So they'll try you right there, and you just be locked up if you were, like, whatever, intoxicated, drunk, whatever. They lock you up in the stadium jail for, like, overnight until you, or a couple hours, cool you off, and then let you go. And I was just like, so I expect that, like, from Philly fans. From Cowboy fans, I expect them to make noise or whatever, but, like, I didn't expect them to throw trash like that. But Dak being the Dak who he is, going to do the right thing, and Chance, I agree with you. He probably got the call, like, hey, can you just tell your quarterback just to say something so we could just squash this? Like, can we move on? And he came out with like that little. Now, did he believe that apology? Oh, I don't think so. You know, and we all know, like, you just, and Dak will learn as he gets. I mean, I don't know when. I mean, he's been in the NFL for several years now. That you got to have the refs on your side. You got to sweet talk him a little bit, but like, yeah, see, that's why you're officiating. That's why you're great at officiating. Just talk to him, whatever.
And why do you think Brady is?
Well, look at LeBron James. Right. Like, he knows how to talk to them. He's a salesman. He exude charm. That's what you need, Dak. Exude charm. I guarantee you'll get a lot more. You probably, when I got 14 calls, you probably got maybe even 7, maybe 8 calls.
Yeah, those roughing the passer penalties, they're probably cut in half this season for Dak Prescott.
But in terms of getting roughing passers on you, you're going to get an uptick there. Yep. And that's great. Yep. So, yeah, I was not surprised. I think that he had to do that because he is a quarterback. And like you said, you know, that, you know, he has a strong following, especially from the youth, you know. So he was learning how to do things the right way, you know, and this is the way to do it. Whether it be bad or whatever, you can't leave it for the judges. You can't leave it for the refs, whatever. You still have to play your ball. I mean, it is what it is. It's all about execution and stuff like that. So I'm just surprised that – I'm not really surprised he came out with the apology because I was expecting an apology.
I was shocked.
I was going to know he's going to do the right thing.
Yeah, I wasn't shocked he apologized. I was shocked about the referee comment because you just do not hear that.
Oh, I was so excited. I was like, yes, that's the Dak I want. And look, once he said that, all of a sudden he was all, for the first time, it was not about, like, you know, his status as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, you know, because I know that he's what, 1-3 over the last 4 postseason games, and they try to compare him to Tony Romo had, you know, they were like whatever in the first 6 playoff games, they had the same record, whatever. It was much the same for him. But it wasn't talks about that. It was talks about, like, what he said about the refs. And I was like, good job, Dak. Now you're getting it. Like, now it's just like, and I enjoyed it. So, but we got some playoff games to talk about today. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm going to ask you this, and I want you to listen to this and tell me if you are or not. The ultimate hype video. Are you ready, Patton? Are you ready?
You know, I can go out on a limb and say I'm ready.
You're ready?
I am ready.
That is by far the best, like, hype video I've ever heard. I when I take my kid to go play basketball, whatever, and get him going, that game, get him that headspace, I'll play that, and he's like, we ready. He started doing it, and he's like 10 years old, but I want him to get, like, you know, get, like, hyped up, you know? But whenever I play that, like, it gets me hyped up, especially when the beginning of the season happens. If it's not that, it's the Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
For me, the Hard Knocks is the hype video for me for the beginning of the season. This video is for, like, the postseason. I don't know why, but, like, it gets me ready about the season coming up, the games we have. There's going to be some great games. So I'm going to ask you one question. We're going to have Aditi on, you know, later on the podcast. What game are you looking forward to this weekend?
Well, I'm not going to pick the Titans and Bengals just because I'm going to be there, so I have to be ready for that game, quite frankly. And I have to be excited for it, being a fan of one of those teams. But I think it's got to be Bills-Chiefs for me, because that's the game the national media is saying is your kind of early AFC championship game. It's one of those two teams. They think they're the best in the AFC, Kansas City and Buffalo. And quite frankly, I think those two teams performed the best out of any of them. In the last round of the postseason. So both teams coming in, really good momentum, really good offensively and defensively. Both of them put their will on the other team that they played. So I think for me, Kansas City and Buffalo is going to be big. I like what Buffalo did against last week against New England. I thought they really just shut them down and didn't give them any breathing air or any oxygen at all to survive on. So I like that game. To me, that is the game of the week. And that's the, of course, the CBS. That's the Tony Romo and Jim Nance game. CBS knows that. That, to me, is the game I'm looking forward to the most, because I think, I don't know, as much as a Titans fan, I'd love to say, I think those two teams are the best teams in the AFC. It doesn't mean that the Titans can't win or aren't the better all-around team, but I think in terms of talent on the field, the quarterbacks on display, that's a game I'm really looking forward to sitting down and watching.
Well, many fans and analysts, like experts, media, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to say, they're saying that should have been the AFC championship game.
Yep.
And I'm so tired of the Titans, like the disrespect. Like, stop. You had 90-plus players added to your roster. You are 4-0 against the teams that are currently in the postseason that you played in the regular season. You're six and one in games decided by 3 points. Why the disrespect for the Titans? Like, I'm just like, and then frustrated. And I'm not gonna pick the game either. I'm not picking that game either. The game I'm actually looking forward to, honestly, is the Niners versus Packers game. I know everyone's gonna probably pick Kansas City and the Bills by default. You're gonna have two great quarterbacks. You're gonna have Pat Mahomes going against Josh Allen. Is two quarterbacks that are on their on the uptake in terms of like being the next wave of great quarterbacks in the NFL. But you look at Green Bay. Green Bay has not been great at home. They haven't been great at home when it comes to the postseason. Last year, Tampa Bay came in there and beat them, and they went to New Orleans and eventually went to the Super Bowl and won that out. You look at this Niners team and the physicality. It's a physical team. They're so hard. I mean, this offense for the 49ers is, it's so unique. Like, they can play in any environment. Snow, rain, whatever. It doesn't matter. They don't really have to focus on throwing the football. They're predicated on controlling the offensive line and running the football, whether it be Elijah Mitchell, Deebo Samuel, what have you. And I know that Nick Bosa, and there were some injuries they had last week, in last week's game against the Cowboys, but it looks like Nick Bosa has come, I think he's still in the concussion protocol. Looks like he might most likely be cleared and be able to play this weekend. But you got Bakhtiari coming back. It looks like he was out of practice yesterday, more or less like a coach's decision. We don't know what he's going to look like. Jair Alexander, that's the biggest question mark. He's missed most of the season. What's he going to look like? Like, I want to know what the Packers are trying to do to stop Deebo Samuel. Because it seems like every other team that's tried to do it has been unsuccessful. And the Packers are not that great against the run. They're not. They're really not. Especially this offensive team. And you, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, another two coaches that know one another very well during their time with Washington. Yep. And it's crazy to me, like, you know, that the Niners, who are also playing with house money, that's the game I'm going to look out for, because that leads me to my next question. Like, of the number one seeds, who should be on upset alert? Is it the Niners or should it be the Titans?
That's a great question. I think all in all, I think the Packers are going to be on upset alert if I'm picking this one, just because I think what we saw from San Francisco last week combined with how they play, it is tough to beat a team like that who, if Jimmy G does what he's supposed to, I'm going to caveat with this. It's hard to turn the football over when you run it as much as San Francisco would like to do. I'm going to put it that way. So
okay.
I think for that, as well as you mentioned the record that Aaron Rodgers has, I will say this. Getting Za'Darius Smith back for the Packers will be big. That pass rush, maybe a little strip sack or two against Jimmy G should be big one. I think both number one seeds will end up winning. I know we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I see the Packers, I don't know. I like what I'm seeing from Aaron Rodgers right now. He's kind of being that guy right now in terms of in the media, on the field. He's kind of playing the heel role in the NFL. Mm-hmm. There's talk about a crazy rumor. If he makes it to the Super Bowl, he's going to boycott the Super Bowl. I don't believe that for a second, but it's just one of those storylines you're like, you got to be kidding me. I want to see it just to see if it'll happen, but I like that pick. I like what 49ers did last week against the Cowboys. Pretty much just killed their will early on in the game. And with Deebo Samuel, where they use them so many different ways, it's hard to just stop them out outright just because you use them in the run game, you use them in the passing game, screens, stuff like that. It's hard to just zero in on them when you use a guy like that much. It's pretty much impossible to stop.
So I put this on my Instagram, nfl.junkiejunkie. You can find me there. I put up who should be on upset alert this weekend, the Packers or the Titans. 43% chose the Packers. 57% chose the Titans. And that's out of almost 800 people. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. And it's like, you know, I you would think Titans, Derrick Henry, how much pressure will you have to perform? I think if anyone has a sweeter, like a probably a better setup, is I think the Titans have more of an advantage going against the Bengals than the Packers going against the 49ers. The 49ers are just built different. They're a physical team. I think they're gonna show their physicality in that game. I know that as they try to run the ball with Deebo Samuel and Elijah Mitchell. And don't get me wrong, Green Bay, they have their guys. They have A.J. Dillon and they have Aaron Jones. But if you look at terms of offensive line play, you have to give the advantage right now to the 49ers because of just how their scheme works with the zone stretch run and what have you compared to Green Bay, who's probably going to get Bakhtiari back this week. He might be a little rusty. They've kind of shuffled that offensive line throughout the entire season, like first-timers and what have you, and trying to put some, you know, guys like next man up type players in there. And they bowled it well. But, the real reason why I think they've been so successful is because of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, what does he do? A lot of times he rolls out, makes plays with his feet, extends plays using his feet, and was able to find – or it's just like a quick, like, back shoulder fade to Devontae Adams for 10 yards or 12 yards. And then it's a deep go, and then you have Aaron Jones sprinkle a little of that. With the 49ers, it's just like we're going to try to control the line of scrimmage, both sides, and we're going to play smash ball football. And we're going to play that in the cold.
And there was a stretch with Devontae Adams where he wasn't in there for the Packers. And there was definitely a difference. You could tell when Devontae was in and out on the field. But I think when you look at it, what they did kind of during that period, I think it helped them out a bit, as well as Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon was kind of the main back for a little bit. And I thought you saw something that Aaron Jones, he's got the elusiveness, he's got the speed. But I think A.J. Dillon in kind of postseason football in Green Bay, that's a guy like Derrick Henry who I don't know if I want to tackle him for four quarters straight. There's going to be runs where guys are going to kind of get in and out of the way to make sure you not have to tackle a guy like that. So I think both these teams can be physical when they want to. I think when you've got an MVP candidate like Aaron Rodgers and how he's been playing, it's hard to go against him just because I think he's kind of been on a mission ever since the summer. And, of course, he had the COVID vaccine issue that midway through the season. I think he's just on a mission right now to kind of prove everybody wrong. And I think when you look at it, stats don't really back it up. Brady statistically has had the best season in the NFL quarterback-wise. But I think what Aaron Rodgers has done, if I were to have an MVP vote, he would have it.
You would have it? Yeah, and I've been made fun of a lot of times that I picked Aaron Rodgers. Zach and Bruno and Plumlee are like, I forget who it was. I spoke to somebody here at the station, and they said Tom Brady. I'm like, why? Because I know that he's first in every category. I think it's the first ever in his NFL career. He was the first in everything. But Aaron Rodgers is probably probably one of the most technically gifted quarterbacks ever to play this game. And what he's done throwing 45,000 touchdowns to like two interceptions, you know, this season or whatever he does season in, season out. And I know that he was the reigning MVP from last season. He gets my vote this year. But let me ask you this. What player is under the most pressure in the postseason? And I can name you a few. If you want me to name you a few, you got Derrick Henry, you got Josh Allen, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Jimmy G, you got Matthew Stafford. I mean, there's a lot of players you would think that would be under pressure. Of those, which one do you think is probably under the most pressure?
I think Jimmy G has got some decent pressure heading into this game for a few reasons. I think, one, he had a decent game against the Cowboys, kind of fell apart late in that fourth quarter. I don't think he can do that against Green Bay. You give them a whole quarter where you're kind of in and out of the lineup, collapsing a bit, turning the football over. Aaron Rodgers is not Dak Prescott, and Aaron Rodgers is not going to give you about six or seven drives where you can go scoreless and it not become an issue. So I think Jimmy G has to do his part in the Green Bay 49ers game. I think another guy that's got some pressure, a guy you're going to see here in town, and that's Ryan Tannehill. I think he's got some pressure.
Wow, you're going Ryan Tannehill.
I'm going Ryan Tannehill just because I think what you saw against Houston, I thought he looked really good, a guy that you haven't seen much of this season, where he was just pinpoint accuracy, making throws that not a lot of guys can in the NFL, and ultimately won them the game, I think,
right,
against Houston. So for me, he's got Joe Burrow on the other side. There's going to be points scored in this game. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Both defenses, they've been good in the regular season, but I think both of them are starting to kind of figure themselves out. The Titans secondary isn't great. I think we saw that against Houston. There wasn't really much injuries in that game. So I got Ryan Tannehill just because all the weapons are back. AJ and Julio are back. I've got Derrick Henry is back. I don't think there can really be any pressure on Derrick, because the fact that he's back there now, ready to go in the postseason, in the divisional round, I don't think there can be much question on Derrick Henry and his toughness that's got him all the way back here. So is there pressure for him to perform within himself? Does Derrick want to put pressure on himself? Sure, but I think with what the Titans have at the running back position, that gives them plenty of depth. So if Derrick Henry doesn't have vintage Derrick Henry, Deontay Foreman and Hilliard, I think they could get it done.
Yeah, for me, the first play going into the postseason was Dak Prescott. And we all saw where that went. Failed miserably. Now there's questions again with that whole Dallas Cowboy quarterback situation there. They're out of the playoffs. The next guy was probably like my 1A is Josh Allen. Josh Allen just signed that big contract. Was an early exit last year in the playoffs when they played the Colts. And here you are now, divisional playoffs, going against the Chiefs. Both are kicking on all cylinders, whether it be the Chiefs, you know, Patrick Mahomes, and with you guys after what Buffalo did last week. I think, honestly, you saw probably, I'm not expecting what happened last week against the Patriots to happen again for the Bills throughout this postseason if they continue on. I think that, I mean, in terms of how perfect of a game they play, I think that's the best they're ever going to play in the postseason. Yeah. That's it. I mean, unfortunately, you got it so early in the postseason, right?
Instead of like February.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Instead of like having it like in, you know, probably Super Bowl or when you go into the AFC, you know, championship, what have you. You decided to have in the first game. And, of course, you're playing against a familiar foe in the New England Patriots. So you know what to do, and you did what you did and abused the hell out of them. And you did what you wanted at will against this team, defensively, offensively, you name it. Now you have the Kansas City Chiefs. Singletary looks like he's kind of stepped a little bit. Josh Allen was able to do so many things with just use his arm and his feet. You know, like he's just seems like the complete quarterback right now. Let's see does he ride the momentum? And you've already got your number one. You got Diggs. You have just, Knox.
Yeah.
Dawson Knox is a great tight end. I mean, he's really serviceable. I mean, I know that looking at the games, even throughout the season, there is a connection between Knox and Allen. He just trusts him, especially when he gets to that red zone, whether it be that 10-yard line, Allen, he looks for Knox in the end zone. He doesn't look for Diggs. He'll try to run out, try to do little scramble plays outside for like 2 or 3 yards, and then like second down, I'm looking for Knox. Whether he's next to the pylon or he's just doing like a quick hitch, whatever. But you signed that massive contract. You were favorites to come into the season. Won the AFC East like as close as you possibly can by a game. The Patriots were not supposed to be where they were, right? I mean, let's be real. The Patriots were not supposed to be that competitive, especially with a rookie quarterback. I know they were getting players. They've overachieved this season. So it was supposed to be the Bills division outright. Miami was still going to be the same team. The Jets were rebuilding. They have a rookie coach, you know, rookie quarterback. We're not expecting much out of the Jets. This was the Buffalo's division to take, and they had to wait until the week 16 to get it because of the play of the Patriots. Yeah. And then you get the Patriots in the playoffs. destroyed him at will, had a perfect game. That perfect game, I don't expect that happening again. So now I really want to see what Josh Allen does this upcoming week against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm really surprised about what's going to happen because it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold again. Where are they, in Buffalo or are they in Kansas City?
Kansas City.
In Kansas City, right? You're going to be away, right? You're going to be – so whether – you know, we know how Kansas City is in January, February. Snow, rain, probably a combination of the two.
Nastiness.
Nastiness, right? Kind of like what we're going to see here in Nashville, right?
Right, yeah.
But that's postseason football, right? Unless you play for Tampa Bay or you play in the Dome. Other than that, it's cold weather. Most of the stadiums you go play during the postseason. And I'm really interested to see what happens there. And if I were to put a player underneath him, might be Matthew Stafford. I think Matthew Stafford's was pressure to win was last week. I think the pressure was far larger last week than it was this week, because now he's got a postseason win under his belt. He's good. You know, that might be able to keep people off from throughout the year or what have you. Now he gets to just have fun. He's going against a Buccaneers team that's hurting offensively on the offensive line. We don't know what, I mean, that's a game that kind of scares a lot of people. I actually picked the Rams to win that game. I think they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I think he's going to show out. So, but I don't see him with much pressure. I'm not going to put Derrick Henry in that thing because, you know, we don't know what to expect out of Derrick Henry. If I'm with you, I'm more or less. The Ryan Tannehill thing was an interesting take because the Titans, when you talk to them, Ryan Tannehill is their guy. Win, lose, or draw, he is their guy.
And I don't think it's so much pressure on the Titans are going to cut him or trade him or anything like that. But there is a narrative out there for the national media that John, he talked about it all the time on the Greg Pogue, John Burton show, that the Titans are great, bud. Like, that's the national media.
I hate the but.
Yeah, but you have Ryan Tannehill. That is the whole but in this conversation is Ryan Tannehill. So I think if he comes out, if he comes out against the Cincinnati, shows a decent performance. I mean, he doesn't need to throw for 500 passing yards necessarily because that's not what the Titans want or need in this game. But if he just goes out there, doesn't turn the football over, throws a couple of touchdowns to A.J. Brown, puts a decent performance in there, it's not going to silence all the critics, but if he goes out there, throws two interceptions, then the Titans get bounced. That'll be a national narrative, and I think, I don't know. I don't want to go so over the top on just its ifs and buts, but for me as a Titans fan, it would always put that in my mind that can we win a Super Bowl with this guy? Because ultimately that's the goal. If you get the number one seed, that is the goal, to win a Super Bowl. It's all great having the bye week. You don't have to play in the wild card round, but come the divisional round, you want to win this game and have a shot to make it to the Super Bowl. So for me, I don't think he has anything to worry about the Titans moving on from him, because they've shown with the contract and coming out in the media that they trust this guy. He is their quarterback. For a fan like me and for the national narrative, I think there's some pressure.
Some pressure? Yeah. I really believe so as well. I think it's been Super Bowl bust for the Titans since what? 2 years ago?
Yeah.
It was probably Mariota's last year, right? When he came in, they had that nice, great playoff run. They beat Kansas City in Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen. That's the thing. That's why, like, I'm not worried about if the Kansas City Chiefs, let's say if the Titans do win, right? And most are expecting them to win. But let's say they do win. I'm just going to put hypotheticals there. If they get Kansas City, they beat Buffalo. I'm not worried about Kansas City. I feel like we are the Kansas City Chiefs' Achilles heel. For some strange reason, we match up well with Kansas City. Whether it be high scoring 35-34 games that they had, like, what, 2 seasons ago?
Yep.
In the regular season, we won that game. Oh, no, did we lose that game? No, we
won. The regular season matchup is the AFC title game.
Is when we lost. And we were up in that game.
Yeah.
We were up in that game. And then we just let it slip through our fingers, right? I say we, like, we're a part of the team.
No.
But we are. We're media. We're part of the team. We're rooting. We're on that team.
Believe me, the amount of tears I've flowed for this franchise, I'm a part of this team.
You know, what's funny, because if people talk about, like, you know, when you always say, like, oh, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. And they're like, well, did you play for the Titans? I'm like, I have emotional investment into this thing, right? Don't give me that.
My mental health is settled on the Tennessee Titans.
Don't give me that. What, are you not a fan of anything?
Right.
I'm sure, like, you know, like, oh, I think I had a chat with Zach about that, and he always, like, makes fun of it, and, like, he kind of puts, like, little daggers to it. I'm like, Zach, are you not a fan of a team? He's like, yeah, but I'm like, yeah, you the Royals. I'm a pretty chance there's many times you talk about Kansas City Royals. I'm like, yeah, our season sucked. I'm like, oh, our season sucked?
Okay.
Oh, now you're a Royal, huh? Really? Good to know, Mr. You're not part of the team. So I always hate that little argument about like I'm emotionally invested. We're emotionally invested, whether we are media fans, whatever. We're emotionally invested in this because we want to see our team, local team, to go far. We want them to win a Super Bowl. You know, we've been wanting this for years. It'd be our first one. I picked them to be one of the teams that doesn't have a Super Bowl to win a Super Bowl this year because I got them going all the whole way. Whether it be Green Bay, whoever they play, I don't care. I think that we match up. I don't think that the postseason really affects the Titans in terms of how, you know, with Vrabel and that coaching staff approaches these games. I feel there's so much experience, whether it be as a player, as a coach, with Mike Vrabel and like their brass, that they have enough to kind of overcome anything. And they've, like I said, they're 4-0 against the other teams they play that are in the preseason, postseason now that they'd be in the regular season. You got the Chiefs, the Bills, the Niners, and do they play the Bucs as well?
Yep.
And the Bucs.
And really, I think
those are good quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think how it stacks up for me when you look at it, it's. I think this week you don't really need. I think you could get by without Derrick Henry having a really good game, but I think next week against Buffalo or Kansas City, that's a game where you don't need 200 yards or anything like that, but you need Derrick Henry to be an impact. You need Buffalo or Kansas City to at least think that Derrick Henry could take over the game, and I think the same way with the Super Bowl. So luckily enough. It'd be really tough, I think, if they were facing a Kansas City or a Buffalo in this round, because that's one where, like, if they were to secure the number one seed, you have Buffalo in this round instead of Kansas
right.
City having it. I think that's a game where you need Derrick Henry to be as good as he can, because that for me is one of those matchups where you need everything. You need all you can get. So I think this week is a game where if Derrick Henry can give you 200 yards, great, but you don't really need it to me to win this game. So that's kind of where I'm at. You don't need him for the divisional round, but AFC title game and beyond. That's one where, for me, I think you could use him.
No, and here's the thing. I know that every fan that'll be watching this game, and the first couple of hits that Derrick Henry will take, people will have like their stomach in their throats,
oh, yeah.
Hoping that he's okay.
I'm not even going to watch the first drive of him out there. I'm just going to shield my eyes, put my eyes in my blanket and not even look.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to tell you this. From a friend to a friend, I'm coming to you. General, I'm coming at you straight. We saw this guy in week 9 against the Colts. Broke his, whatever bone that was, played on it, and was able to fight to get a first down on that 3 yards when they played the Colts. I mean, that just shows you the toughness of this guy. This guy won't tell you how tough he is. We don't need him to tell us. We see it. We know it. So I'm not worried about any foot injuries he's going to get. I think that the only thing I'm going to really have an eye on, and John talked about it earlier in the podcast, it's a lot easier going north-south. I just want to see how he looks like when he goes west-east. That's what I want to, sideline to sideline. Those cuts. That's where I'm going to see, is he okay? Is he back? I'm not expecting him to be 100%.
Yeah.
And maybe he's been back. We all know that Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff have, like I said, we talked about, keep their cards close to their chest. They're not telling anything to anybody. It's the Patriot way.
Right.
We don't know. They might be. That's probably why. That's probably when he was doing the interview yesterday and after practice, where you saw that big smile from ear to ear on Derrick Henry. He's like, y'all have no idea. I am so good. I've been healthy for about a month now. Man. Or maybe he hasn't. I don't know. Well, we're about to find out. But gauging from that smile from ear to ear, he's ready. And so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think when you look at it, the reports coming out that the Houston Texans game, that if need be, he would have been available in that game. So I think when you look at it, that was almost 3 weeks ago this upcoming Sunday. So for me, I don't think there's much question whether or not he's ready. I agree with you. It's all about, it's not north and south, it's east and west. And that's really what he's really developed the past couple of games. In the past couple of seasons was kind of his cuts in and out of handoffs, because at the beginning it was all north and south. If he didn't have something, just a wide open hole up the middle that he could take 50 or 60 yards, he wasn't really productive. And so to me, that's going to be a big kind of point of emphasis for him. And I think when you looked at it, I asked about Julio Jones and kind of what impact he can make in this game, because I think A.J. Brown's going to have a lot of attention, a lot of coverage is going to kind of go his way, and that leaves some openings for Julio Jones to make a real impact.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens with Derrick Henry. I want to see what he looks like. Like I said, I'm going to be watching him in terms of when he does his, like, you know, his cutting ability. And if he looks like – he won't look like the Derrick Henry at all, but if he looks close enough, if you give me 80% Derrick Henry, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. I'm good with. I'm not expecting him to be 100% at all. I'm not looking for that. I don't want that because I know not to expect it. And truth be told, do they really need 100% Derrick Henry to go through the playoffs? I mean, Foreman's been, you know, like a poor man's version of Derrick Henry. He's been able to hold up the running game, and, you know, they've been effective when, especially towards the later of the season when he started to get his legs underneath him and was really able to carry drives, especially against Houston and some other games, against the 49ers. Maybe they don't need to rely on too much. I mean, it's just like I look at the Tennessee Titans and the Los Angeles Rams the very same way. They are both getting healthy at the right time. You're getting like you know, just a little sprinkles, a little icing on the cake. You know, you've got like Henry coming back. Looks like that, you know, you spoke about him just a few minutes ago, Julio Jones. He looks like he's healthy now. A.J. Brown looks like he's good to go. Offensively, they look great. Defensive line, Bud Dupree, all those guys, they look good. Then you look at the Rams. The Rams just got back Cam Akers. They're starting to get healthy now. Von Miller, he's kind of set himself into that defense. He seems to be more impactful playing alongside Aaron Donald. And you know, they look like they're having fun. That's who, honestly, that's who I picked for the Super Bowl, is the Rams versus the Titans. That's who I've got. And I think that's going to be a crazy, crazy matchup. But I'm not really worried about how Julio is or stuff like that. We're going to bring Aditi on here in a few minutes to talk about what her thoughts are on all the divisional games.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting just because kind of with all the talent out there for the Titans, I think you need as much kind of all-star moments and Hall of Fame moments, if you will, that you can get. And you kind of look at it. The year that Kansas City beat the Titans in the AFC Championship game, you saw Patrick Mahomes, their best player on the field, make just an all-time play, made that play on the sideline right before the half that really ended up putting all the wind out of the sails for the Titans. So that's kind of why I'm looking for Derrick Henry to kind of work his way back into this game, and then hopefully by next week, if they can win against the Bengals, against a game like the Buffalo Bills or the Kansas City Chiefs, you get an all-time moment in it for an all-time player like Derrick Henry. So that's kind of where I'm looking at right now for the Titans. And for the Bengals, I know we talked a lot about the Titans, but the Bengals, really, when you look at it, they got a good a shot as any with a player like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They give you a chance anytime they're out on the field. They make big-time plays every single time. So I think there's plenty of opportunities out there for Kansas City, or for Cincinnati, I should say. And they've kind of shown their tendency. They're pretty good on the road. Their game against Kansas City, I believe, was on the road, and they ended up winning that game, and that's why the Titans ultimately got the number one seed. So this is kind of one of those teams that can kind of play the villain role, and Titans fans don't want to hear that, but I'm telling you how it is right now, because really Cincinnati is built for the postseason when you've got quarterbacks and wide receivers ready to go. So we're looking forward to have our next guest on. We had her on in the Greg Pogue, John Burton show a few moments ago with a really good friend of show, Aditi. I believe, Ray, we all set? We all ready to get this thing going? Let's go ahead and jump right into it. We got our guest with us. Aditi, first, I want to say thank you for joining us here today on the podcast. You were with John. I promise, no Big Ben questions in this interview, Aditi.
Big Ben.
So you were listening to that earlier. Yes. Did I not hide that well?
You did.
Not a good job by me.
So Aditi, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. Yeah, when I was talking to John about that, I was like, this. I thought Ben Roethlisberger had one more like send off, whatever, because I know that in Pittsburgh they've been like waiting. Like it was supposed to happen the last game of the season, and then they end up going to the playoffs, and they did it again. So, but Ben has had a great career. He's had a fantastic career. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, and this, of course, Aditi, come from the NFL Network. I want to ask you this: you look at the Big Ben has never been one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, the top quarterback in the NFL. It's always been Tom Brady with a sprinkle of Aaron Rodgers, but Ben Roethlisberger has always been one of that cusp, and you always had those three quarterbacks. Now you look at this new wave of quarterbacks. You've got Patrick Mahomes, then you've got possibly maybe Josh Allen can fill in that space, and then you have who the Tennessee Titans are playing this week, and Joe Burrow. How do you see this Titans-Bengals game playing out this week?
So interesting because, and I said this earlier to John, in fact, is that it depends on what market you're talking to somebody in to get a read on where the game is. You know, like you talk to people in Nashville and they are just ridiculously confident in who they are. And why wouldn't they be? I mean, this is a team that's fresh. This is a team that had a bye week off. This is a team that runs the ball no matter who is running the ball. I mean, I saw them run for 200 yards on the Pittsburgh Steelers live without Derrick Henry. And so you feel good about that. But then you turn to the Bengals and, hey, the Bengals don't play bad defense either. You know, they've got the fifth best rush defense. And, hey, the Bengals are passing the ball right now as well as anybody. And the Bengals receivers against the Titans secondary. And by the way, Joe Mixon can run the ball. And if they even try to establish the run and control the pressure and let Joe Burrow have a little bit of time, I'll take those three receivers. I'll take those three receivers against anybody. That's not a knock on the Titans secondary. I would just take them. So I feel as if it's a really, really good matchup. And I'm, as much as we say that the Titans are fresh because they had a bye, the Bengals are pretty fresh too because most of these guys didn't play in Week 18. So that's a piece of it. As much as the Titans have home field advantage, I'm still curious to see what home field looks like only because, and again, not a knock on the Titans fan base, but you don't necessarily think of Nashville as a place to play like Green Bay, perhaps, or Baltimore, where the team just has this absolutely overly dominating, loud, aggressive fan base that makes it incredibly hard to play at. And because the Bengals have indeed been good on the road this year. Joe Burrow is 5-2 on the road. You know, they don't have a lot of pre-snap penalties. They are pretty level and cool. Right. They're not super excitable. So we'll see. Again, I think that one really, really, really big key is the fact that the Bengals are missing two of those defensive tackles. Larry Ogunjobi, who, of course, is a starter and has been absolutely fierce for them in every way, and then also Mike Daniels. So you're going to require more snaps out of the guys that are there, DJ Reader and BJ Hill. And on a cold day, if the Titans are really running the ball with big, strong bodies like Foreman and Henry, does that wear down a defensive front that's a little bit thin?
Didi, one of the Coach of the Year candidates is on the Bengals sideline and the Titans sideline with Mike Vrabel. But Zach Taylor, I got a question. How warm was his seat coming into this season? Of course, had the rough year last year with Joe Burrow getting hurt and they get the high draft pick getting Ja'Marr Chase. Was there some serious pressure on Zach Taylor to kind of perform this upcoming season?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't win six games in 2 years. You know, on the one hand, the Bengals are one of the most patient franchises in the NFL, right? And so it's not as if you sit here and think they're going to make any sort of impetuous moves. But on the other hand, six wins in 2 years when you're actually spending money in free agency and when you do actually have so many high draft picks, and you know, there is a piece to that where you felt like they did need to perform. And I still think that there was an exceeding of expectations simply because the other AFC North teams generate so much in terms of copy and headlines and spotlight, and that probably served the Bengals well that there wasn't as much of a national look at them. And I think that that's been Joe Burrow to some degree too. You know, for as good as he's been, and you know, he's won titles in high school, he's won titles in college, he's now ended a 30-year playoff drought for the Bengals. I just don't think that he's a guy that generates as much, what's the way to say this, I don't want to say lightning, I don't want to say just as much fervor as like a Baker Mayfield. You know, a Baker Mayfield is a guy that gets people really passionate, either for or against. You love him or you hate him. You know, I don't think that Joe Burrow is that person. And to some degree, that helps. That helps, right? Because I think a little bit of a diminished spotlight is never a bad thing.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Now, Aditi, we know that Derrick Henry's coming back. I don't care what Mike Vrabel or Derrick Henry, I don't know if you saw his catch, was able to catch his post-practice interview yesterday where they told him, like, are you going to be starting this week? And he said, we'll see how the week goes. He has this big smile from ear to ear. We all know he's coming back, right?
Right.
So I want to ask you this. Do you think that with his return, will it be enough to get the Titans to the AFC championship game?
You know what? I don't think it's just about him. And I'll say this. Look, obviously, Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry. There is a reason that people believe he is the number one running back in the NFL. And I had the opportunity to talk to Roger Saffold yesterday, and he said it's not just about what he brings on the field. It's you've got another leader on the field, another leader who says the right thing and sets the standard and sets the tone, and guys follow. So all of that is incredibly important. But I also think this is, what kind of pass rush can the Titans get off? How does the secondary play? Can their disguises indeed confuse Joe Burrow, or can Joe Burrow, as he has done so well over the last couple months, so unerringly pick out the one-on-one matchup? Can T. Higgins continue to win every single one-on-one matchup? We know that Jamar Chase will. Will Tyler Boyd come up big in the slot whenever his number is indeed called? Can the Bengals establish even a little bit of a run, maybe, you know, outside, if not running at Jeffrey Simmons, who it would be completely crazy to run at Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that it's as simple an answer as, okay, Derrick Henry is what pushes them over the edge.
Right.
And I think that's why this makes it such a great matchup. I'm so excited for this game. I'm sorry that it's the first game. It's the first game because of media markets, right?
Yeah.
You get that first time slot. But I do really think it's a tremendous dynamic matchup in a lot of different ways.
Oh, absolutely. 100% I agree with that.
Aditi, part of your work with NFL Network is kind of covering the AFC North. And looking at it, Titans played the Pittsburgh Steelers. And are you a bit surprised they are where they are after that game? Because morale here, I tell you, for a fan in the Titans like myself, morale was low for myself. Are you surprised they ended up solidifying that number one seed after the debacle in Pittsburgh?
No, because this is the National Football League. I mean, this year, this is the National Football League in 2021. How many crazy, weird games did we see this year? And you know what's so funny is that morning, I remember actively saying, the Titans were playing that day for the number one seed, and the Steelers were just a hot mess. And I remember thinking, the Steelers are going to win this game. Any rational reason, it was just, that's the way this season has gone. The Steelers are going to win this game. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, the Titans had, what, 4 turnovers in that game?
Yeah. It was ugly.
And then still
had ugly.
A chance at the very end, but Joe Hayden comes up with the biggest tackle just shy of the first down line. And, you know, like, that was a game where the Steelers' best players, T.J. Watt, Joe Hayden, you know, the veteran guys came up with the key play and the key moment. But everybody has a bad day eventually. And sometimes you need that as sort of a gut check. You know, you need that to know what you can season or what you can weather or what you can get away with.
Right. I completely agree with that. I mean, it's just crazy how the season has been. It has been drama filled for sure this season.
Yeah.
But let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about a little bit about the Bucs and Rams. We saw that the Bucs had dealt with some injuries, especially on the offensive line with Ryan Jensen and as well as Tristan Wirfs. Do you believe that those injuries will finally catch up to the Tampa Bay offense this week when they go against the Rams?
I don't know, but I like the way the Rams are playing defense. I don't know if it's about that line, but I just, in general, I have a hard time betting against Aaron Donald, of all people. I love the way that Jalen Ramsey is being used. I mean, the guy can play 6 different positions in any given game.
Right.
And he's a much bigger corner than you realize. That's why he can play basically linebacker. He can be a safety. He can, you know, I like the flexibility that he gives the Rams and the dynamism he plays with. And as for their offense, I mean, I think that they're really clicking. Sony Michel has brought a different element. There's a greater physicality to the way that they're doing things. Matthew Stafford seems to have cleaned up some of the turnover issues that were plaguing them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's the cakewalk that everybody assumes. I don't think that it's just, okay, they'll come to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady will dispense of them.
Odell Beckham had one of his better games last week, Aditi. Has your opinion changed on him? Of course, all the things that went on in Cleveland. Did you always kind of know that player was there in L.A.? Or has your opinion kind of changed after last week?
I think that's so. And it's funny that you say this because I actually did a report from Cleveland the week that he was told to stay home. And this report went viral. And it wasn't a knock on Odell. It was simply saying that Odell is not necessarily the best fit in the offense that Cleveland is running. So The Browns run a rhythm and timing offense. That means that Baker Mayfield has a read, he goes to it, or he goes to his next read. And part of Odell Beckham's magic is his creativity. This is how Antonio Brown was. Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger together for 6 years just made really more magic than I think I've ever personally firsthand witnessed on any level for that many years. And it was because the two of them improvised together. It was the way that Antonio could break off a route or do whatever he was supposed to do. And by the end of their tenure together, Ben was a little frustrated because Antonio wasn't always running the route exactly as the route needed to be run.
Right.
But for 6 years, they hadn't done that. Odell, and as you know, towards the end of Odell's tenure in Cleveland, his father had put out a video showing all these times that he was seemingly open. And yes, he was seemingly open, but within the parameters of the Browns' offense, it didn't matter that he was open because the way the Browns' offense runs is Baker's got to read. He's throwing to a spot at a specific time. If the receiver is not in that spot at that time, he's got to go on to read number two. And if that receiver isn't in that spot at that time, he's got to go on to number three. And so that didn't play to Odell's strengths. And what were Odell's strengths didn't necessarily play to the strengths of the Browns offense or to Baker Mayfield. Now you go to L.A., and Matthew Stafford is a little bit more adept at this. In fact, I had this conversation with Les Snead, the general manager of the Rams, before a game earlier this year, and he was saying that Stafford actually said he was a little bit sort of used to this because that's kind of how he played with Megatron.
Yeah.
And so you see Stafford being able to take advantage of what Beckham can do and the way the two of them can kind of get on the same page. Well, there's more freedom in that offense for that to happen. So, and you know, that happened some with Eli Manning too. Mm-hmm. That team was flawed, obviously, in many ways, but Odell was obviously more productive in New York than he was in Cleveland. It's just, you know, you just sometimes have to find the right fit. And when we talk about the Titans and Ryan Tannehill, isn't this the perfect fit for Ryan Tannehill?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., since he's been with the Rams, he's, what, 6 touchdowns so far with season 0 with Cleveland last year. So it seems like he just knows that fit. And Matthew Stafford, the ultimate pro, looks like he's been able to utilize. It took a little while, but they eventually got there. But it seems like they're kicking on cylinders. And I'm in agreement with you. I think that they're going to upset the Buccaneers. I think they're kicking on all cylinders. Matthew Stafford, I think a lot of the pressure for him was last week compared to this week because he was 0-3 in the postseason. Now he's got one under his belt.
Right.
Now he's playing with house money. Now he goes against the Bucs, and who are, looks like they're a little hurt. There's questions.
I don't know if it's house money, but at least he's not answering those questions anymore.
Right, right.
And I think there is some value to that. Right. You know, and it's similar. Let's bring it back to this game. The Bengals, you know, they don't carry the baggage of a 30-year playoff drought, but they certainly have to hear about it. You know, they see it everywhere. They are asked about it. It is something they have to address, whether they carry the baggage of it or not. Now they're not. I mean, they are carrying the baggage of they were asked all this week about how the Bengals have never won a road playoff game. Like, none of these kids had anything, none of these young men had anything to do with that, but they are being asked about it.
Yeah.
So in that sense, Matthew Stafford doesn't have to answer that question anymore. It's like the monkey off his back.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And then, but one of the things that I want to talk about the Chiefs-Bills here is, you know, is Patrick Mahomes. Like, I want to know, what type of performance do you think we'll see from Patrick Mahomes? Because when you look at the season, you've seen a tale of two halves. The first couple of weeks where he's just throwing multiple interceptions in a game, trying to make up for the deficiencies with the defense not playing as well, you know, not trying to meet time. And then the second half of the season, it seems like they just kind of got into sync. Of just like, okay, you know, we're back, and now here we are. We're going against what many think is probably should have been the AFC Championship game between the Bills and the Chiefs.
Well, again, that's why it matters how you're playing at this time of year and not how you're playing in September, right? You want to peak. You want to go on a run at the end of the year. It's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. By the same token, Josh Allen sure looked good last week, and that Bills defense is – I am of the mind that defense wins championships. And defense wins in January, and defense wins in cold weather. And if you can stop someone – then that is a really, really good recipe. And I think the Bills have a better defense than Kansas City does. And I don't want to minimize the value of that. Same side, it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes, but it's also hard to bet against Josh Allen right now.
Right.
Well, the game. You're right. I mean, they're all this is fun. This is the fun time of year.
Yeah, it
sure,
is.
Right?
These two teams, they met last year in the AFC Championship, and of course there's the famous video of Stephon Diggs watching the kind of confetti fall and watch Kansas City celebrating. How much have you enjoyed watching those two, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, since Stephon being brought over from Minnesota? What have those two meant to the city of Buffalo? Because it just seems like every single game you look at the stat line and each of them have combined for 150 yards of passing between the two.
You know what? That's another one. I would remind you that Stephon Diggs was in Minnesota with Kevin Stefanski, who is now the Browns head coach, who was the offensive coordinator. And Stefanski and Diggs didn't have quite the same success together that Diggs is having with Brian Daboll, who's in Buffalo, who is, of course, taking interviews as a head coach right now. So, again, finding the right fit matters just as much as anything else. It's a lot of fun because I was in Buffalo the week that Josh Allen was drafted. I was assigned to the Bills that week. I was there all week long. Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds were both drafted in the first round that year. Josh Allen, all of a sudden on draft day, seemed to be falling down draft boards or facing, you know, a lot of kind of angst because some old tweets of his from, you know, 5 or 6 years prior to then had been uncovered. And I just remember what a warm and humble and grateful young man he was when he was flown in the next day with his dad. He came with his dad. And my son, and he hasn't changed. He's still just as friendly, just as personable, just as hardworking, you know, just as driven. There is no part of him that says, okay, now I've got this big fat contract, or no, now I've made it. He works just as hard. And you always appreciate that. And then on a very personal level, I am married to a diehard Steelers fan. I'm married to a man who sat on the Steelers season ticket wait list for 21 years. And we have a now 6-year-old son who was 2 the year that Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds were drafted and decided that week that I was in Buffalo that he was going to be a Bills fan. And all these years later, my son is still a Bills fan. He still wears his Bills hat every single day. He still wants to talk about the Bills. As a mommy, I certainly, I always tell everybody I have no rooting interest other than I root for good people and I root for good stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I root for myself. I can't root for a team anymore. But I like when my son is happy. I'll say that.
Yeah. And
week one, I will say this too, Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, we were joking about week one was the Steelers at the Bills. And we had a conversation about how my husband was pulling for the Steelers and how my son was obviously pulling for the Bills. And Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, said to me at the time, oh, I know how all you moms are. You only care about your kids. You don't care about the husband.
Exactly. Yeah, I know what this
is. So it sounded like he was speaking from personal experience. And it worked out fine for him. But
it's much like that in our same household because I grew up as a Washington football fan. And of course, they've not been the same since, I think, Jack Kent Cook when he passed away and when Snyder bought the team. And then my son now is he got into football about 2 years ago, and he's a huge Derrick Henry Titans fan. And sometimes he kind of feels a little upset because of the fact that he doesn't root for my team. I'm like, son, you root for whoever you want. Actually, you're rooting for a better team than who I'm rooting for right now. You're in a good space. You just do that.
Dan, I think that this is so fun. My husband gets so upset when I encourage, and this is, my daughter is only 2, so she'll go her own way, but I definitely play up. I probably shouldn't admit this, and I shouldn't admit this like in recording. But my daughter was born 2 months prematurely in Cleveland when I was on the road to actually cover the Titans at Browns game. This is week one of the 2019
I remember that.
Season.
I remember that.
And so I was supposed to be on the sideline for the Titans at the Browns, except that I went into labor.
Yeah.
And so my little 3.5-pound daughter came 2 months early in Cleveland at the Cleveland Clinic, and the Cleveland Browns, you know, couriered over clothing for our family because we were stranded and, you know, all of this.
Right.
And I think that it's such an interesting story of somebody's birth, and you're born in this city, and to me, there's something really fun about rooting for an underdog. There's something fun, like, what's the fun in, like, jumping on a bandwagon, you know? And so I have dressed Kaya, my daughter, in the Browns clothing that we repeatedly keep getting. And it definitely irked my husband. And here's the part that he was never here, but I like that it irked him.
Yeah, my wife always tries. She tries to poke at me a little bit because she'll try to throw little daggers here and there about the washing. Like, when was the last time you guys won a Super Bowl? And I'm like, look, let's not do this. Let's stop. And then my son would get in there and he'll start to like really egg it on. I'm like, son, you guys are doing far better than we are. Let's just pretend we never heard that I root for Washington fan. But I am in agreement with you about the whole rooting for underdog, because the Tennessee Titans looks like that's all they are. It's underdogs.
Yes, but let me tell you, I'm a big Ron Rivera fan. So as we know, you know, things are cyclical in the National Football League. And sure, the Steelers have been extremely successful and good for a long time, but they've won 3 playoff games in 10 years. So, and now they need a new quarterback. What's going to happen there? How's that going to play out? You never really know.
Yeah.
I don't think the dominance lasts forever. Look at where the Patriots are.
Yeah, for sure. And you speak about quarterbacks, and, you know, in terms of that, like, there might be one available next year, and that talks about our next game, the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers going against the 49ers and Jimmy G. And I was going to ask you, like, Do you think the Green Bay Packers can really slow this 49ers rush attack? Because when you look at how they played against the Cowboys last week, they did what they wanted to do at will, rushing the ball, whether it be with Deebo Samuel, Elijah Mitchell, controlling that line, and they were just out physically the Cowboys. Do you think the same thing is going to happen this week against the Packers?
It sure would validate what I feel, which is that defense and running the ball is the formula to success.
Yeah, especially in cold weather, right?
Yes. I wouldn't bet against the 49ers. I love that defensive front. I love the way they fly around. I love the pressure that they can bring. I love how impossible they make it to create holes and run the ball. But I also feel that Aaron Rodgers is playing like a man of fire. So, yes, I do think, you know, this takes me back. I can't remember what game it was, but earlier this year, wasn't there... What game was it, guys? Help me out. Where San Francisco basically had the ball for 14 of the first 15 minutes of the game, like just methodically went down the field and sucked every minute off the clock. And that, to me, is just a tremendous formula. Keep the ball out of the other guy's hands and take so much time off the clock that you sort of put pressure on them to feel as if they need to score quickly.
Well, Aditi, one more question and we'll let you go. It's about Aaron Rodgers. I feel like it wouldn't be a sports podcast if we didn't talk about the future of Aaron Rodgers. Are you buying into this theory of if Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl, he's just going to go out, retire? Are you buying that kind of narrative going
the
on?
The Last Dance.
No.
He's not going to go to Jeopardy? No shot?
No. Well, as he said, he could do both. He could manage both.
Yeah. He did say that, yeah.
Within the confines of an NFL schedule. No, I think that he has enjoyed the drama and the talk of it, but I think that he has a lot of football left in him and a lot of domination or excelling left in him. So, no, I do not see him walking away.
Well, Aditi, before we let you go, tell the people listening how they can find you both on social media and then on NFL Network.
Well, I will be live on NFL Network tomorrow from Nashville. And, of course, I will be live starting at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. So please make sure to tune into NFL Network. I will have multiple hits every hour, and we have the best analysis with our studio guys, and we'll have live reports from all of the game sites this Saturday morning from 8 a.m. right up until kickoff. And I am on Twitter at A-Kinkabwala. That's A-K-I-N-K-H-A-B-W-A-L-A, and on Instagram at Aditi NFL, A-D-I-T-I NFL.
Fantastic.
So come and say hi.
Oh, for sure. Thank you, Aditi. Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, this was great. You came up with a lot of knowledge, things that, you know, I didn't really think about, like perspectives and stuff like that. She came with the information. She came with the knowledge today, and I loved it. Adita, once again,
I appreciate that you're having me. Thank you so much.
It's our
and I
pleasure.
Better hurry up and get packing so I don't miss my flight.
For sure. Hopefully, when you come into town, we can take you out. We'll go have like lunch or whatever and, you know, put a name with the face and stuff like that and all that good stuff.
Anytime.
Fantastic.
I'll be in later tonight.
Fantastic.
Okay.
We'll let you know.
Take care.
Aditi, man, she knows her stuff.
Yeah, really happy to have her on. So gracious with her time. Of course, she was on with John and I a few moments ago, and we had fun with the Big Ben talk, and of course, all season. You mentioned it. It was about 18 different last dances for Big Ben this season, so it had to have been exhausting for her to talk about it, but we really appreciate her tuning in and talking some sports with us.
Yeah, I know what she's feeling, though, with the whole, like, son-father thing. Right. Like, yeah, like, I mean, like, I'm probably not as bad as, like, her husband and son. Like, I don't really get that upset because I always tell my son, like, root for whoever you want to root for.
Right.
You know? Now, well, hold on. I take that back. Maybe not to Cowboys. I know John loves the Giants.
I was about to say.
No, maybe not to Cowboys because, like, let's, like, come here with me. Because if you're rooting for the Cowboys, you might as well root for Washington because we've been the same for the last 20 years. Okay? So let's just go with that. Go, if you're going to go after a team, go with a team that's been successful as of recent, maybe a hometown team like the Tennessee Titans. So I don't really dagger them a little bit, but look, Steeler fans, they're loyal to a T. So I understand where her husband's coming from. He's loyal. They travel well. They go everywhere.
Right.
They're like the Bills fans. You just can't get away from them.
Yeah, you just look down.
There they are.
Especially when the Titans, I mean, they're just crawling out of the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, it's credit to them. But it's really cool to have a fan base like that. Even in the thick and thin, it's not like they've been winning Super Bowls the past 5 years.
But. For sure. Well, before we go, we got to go with our picks.
Yep.
All right. We got to let the people know out there who we're going with. I'm going to let you go first.
I'm going to go first with the Bengals Titans. I've got the Titans winning. I see them just doing enough in the game. I see Derrick Henry providing enough of an impact to end up winning the game against the Bengals.
Yeah, I got Tennessee Titans winning. Probably going to be a close game because I know this is not a game they want that goes in the 30s. They want this to be like in the 20s, low 20s, whatever. Control clock, run the ball, much like Aditi said, as well as John. Yep. This is what they wanted. They want to control that line of scrimmage and run the ball, and I think that the weather is going to be prime setup for them. So, Bills, Chiefs, who you got, man? This is probably the – you know, we'll save that for last. Yeah. We'll save that for last because that's a big one. Let's go Packers-Niners.
I'm going to go with the Packers. I see Aaron Rodgers. I see him just kind of been waiting past couple of weeks. People have been talking about Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady on how they're the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I just like what the Packers are doing. They're getting players back. I see your point about kind of the run game, maybe that providing an issue, a turnover here or there. Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw many of them, so that's something I would look for. If Aaron Rodgers can keep hold of the football and not throw in any interceptions, I like them. But I see home field being enough. Lambeau wasn't full last season against Tampa Bay. It is going to be full this upcoming weekend. So I like the Packers on Saturday.
So you have both number one teams advancing on, right?
Both number one.
All right, so they're moving on. All right. Rams-Bucks. Does Tom Brady go back to the NFC Championship game?
It is all dependent for me on if Leonard Fournette is going to play. And for me, I don't think he's going to play. So
really?
that kind of leads where my answer is going. I see the L.A. Rams stealing this one on the road. Tampa Bay's got this one at home. It wouldn't really matter either way, both warm weather games either side. But for me, I see Matthew Stafford. He's playing well. He found Odell in the last game. Cooper Kupp didn't have a fantastic game, and they still won. For me, that's big to show that they don't just need Cooper Kupp to go for $150 apiece every single game. The defense, you saw Aaron Donald and Von Miller. Von Miller impact was made last game out. Offensive line, I think, is going to be a big loss
absolutely
for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I'm with you as well. I'm with you right off the bat. I'm with you, the Titans. I like the Packers, and I like the Rams. I think the Rams are going to do enough defensively to win that game. I think that Leonard Fournette, I know that they're not out of the woods yet. They're looking at maybe he possibly play. They'll know more after he practices today if he's going to be ready to go this weekend. But still, I just feel like I just don't think that even with Tom Brady defensively, all the offensive line issues and the injuries that they have there, is not enough going against Aaron Donald. Like I said, Von Miller really starting to show himself, really find a place in this defense. And as Aditi said, Jalen Ramsey. Jackknife. You can put him anywhere in that secondary. Safety, you can put him in linebacker. You can put him wherever you want. And he'll go after your number one guy. And who's the number one guy in Tampa? It's Mike Evans. So it's going to be the Gronk show. And you could just, So I think there's a lot of athleticism on that defensive side. So I'm going the Rams as well. Let's talk about what many think should be the championship game in the AFC, which is the Bills and the Chiefs. Who you got?
I'm going on the underdog. I'm going with the road team. I like what Buffalo did. I know they're not going to kind of put together a performance like that again, but I think they don't need to put a performance like that. The Chiefs are not what the Chiefs were the past couple of seasons.
Right.
We saw against Cincinnati that this is a team, if you can frustrate Patrick Mahomes, he's going to make mistakes, and he's not going to be kind of pinpoint perfect. So, for me, I like – I like the Buffalo Bills in this game. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, those two guys, I don't care who Kansas City has in the secondary, they're not stopping those two. I like Buffalo on the road, and I like them ultimately traveling to Nashville.
I do like how the Buffalo Bills have been playing. I think they're playing stellar, but like I said last week, their complete game, I think it's done. Like that, I just feel like they're going to be done to a letdown. They're going to Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes likes playing at home in the postseason. I do see the Buffalo Bills being up early, much like the many other games they had in the postseason in Kansas City, and then Patrick Mahomes just doing Mahomes things.
Yeah.
And so I think Kansas City advances on. So, I mean, I'm really interested to see what happens in these championship games. So, like Adidas said, all the games, they're going to be lights out.
Yeah, and hopefully it's not what we have for the Super Wild Card week last week. Of course, the matchups and kind of the spreads. There's not one like a Pittsburgh and Kansas City spread. All of them are within a touchdown. Kansas City and Buffalo. Kansas City right now 1.5-point favorite. So it's pretty much a pick 'em. Even with Kansas City being at home, usually the 3-point swing they get for being at home, it's not meaning a whole lot in that game.
This is fun, dude. There's a lot. The guests were fun, man. I had a lot of time. It was great times talking football.
Shout out John and Aditi.
Absolutely.
They're both busy people, both TV people. They got a lot of time taken out of their day, and they came in and talked some sports.
And they're welcome back anytime.
100%.
It would be our pleasure to have them. But before we go, Patton, let the people know out there where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, on Twitter, Patton_Cook. Just following all things Titans, Cavs, Arsenal. I'm a bit of a sports fanatic, so anything sports related, I'm pretty much there. Be sure to tune in there. And then I'll call some DCA basketball games on Friday, NFHSnetwork.com. That's on some DCA, Donaldson Christian Academy basketball.
Fantastic. And I'm Ray Dosky. You can find me on Twitter, Ray Dosky, WNSR. And you can also find me on Instagram at NFL.Junkie, JUNKIE, on Instagram, where we do all kinds of stuff. Check our pages out. If you like what you see, smack the follow button on there. For Patton, the General Cook, I'm Ray Dosky. This is In My Opinion.